it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Buenos dias, chicas y chicos. Hello and welcome, a very warm welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, spreading and sharing the supreme delight of this wonderful and fast-growing game. I'm your host, Minter Dial, and this podcast is brought to you by Paddle 1969, the largest manufacturer of premium paddle courts, one court for life by Paddle 1969. The Joy of Paddle is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. For more information about the network, go ahead and check out evergreenpodcast.com. So this is the inaugural season of the Joy of Paddle podcast. And to start with, we're going to do an episode once every fortnight. Episodes will drop every other Wednesday at 12 noon London time. Please let us know what you think about the show by putting up a rating and review. And welcome to episode number 8 of the Joy of Paddle podcast. Today's guest is Tia Norton. Tia is Great Britain's most recognizable professional paddle player. The GB number 1 blazed a trail when, aged only 17, she became the first British woman ever to compete and win on the World Paddle Tour, the international professional circuit, that is. Since then, she's enjoyed tournament success, including the FIP London in 2022 and the inaugural Pro Paddle League in North America in June this year, where she won with the Las Vegas Smash. In 2023, Tia was crowned Women's Paddle Player of the Year at the LTA London Awards. Vamos! Tia Norton, great to have you on my show. Tell us, Tia, how you got into paddle.
Yeah, so thank you for having me, first of all. Pleasure to be on here. I got into paddle when I was 12 years old. So I originally come from a tennis background. And it was actually one of my former tennis coaches who invited me to a club in Birmingham. So I tried it for the first time, really, really enjoyed it. Of course, there's frustration like anyone else who's trying paddle for the first time coming from tennis with the walls. But yeah, tried it out. And a few weeks later, they had GB trials for the junior team to go to the Mexico World Championships. So I actually got selected after a few weeks and popped off to Mexico and managed to reach the quarterfinals. And I came home, I was doing tennis and paddle together, but my parents were like, right, let's try and choose one. So I ended up choosing paddle. And then after that, yeah, I was traveling to Spain on the weekends. So I would fly on a Friday after school, spend Saturday, Sunday in Spain, and then fly home Monday morning and then go straight to school. So yeah, it was quite a lot of sacrifice to be able to play paddle, but yeah, here we are. It was all worth it.
Well, and the good news is you go down to Spain. It's not the worst place to go in terms of weather. You got some good players to play with. And tell us about why you chose paddle then.
I think I found so much more enjoyment in it. In tennis, there was a lot of cheating, parents getting involved when I was at tournaments. And ultimately, I was a kid who just wanted to enjoy some sport. I come from quite a competitive, sporty family. I think after going to Mexico as well, after only a few weeks of playing, that definitely spiked some more interest than playing tennis. It's given me the opportunity to travel, to meet so many incredible friends, and there's such a community in paddle, which I'm sure you can agree with as well.
Do you think that community is because the sport is somewhat new, or do you think it's really inherent in the game?
I think it's quite inherent in the game. It's coming from a Hispanic culture, and they're renowned for being quite sociable and stuff around that. And of course, it being a new sport, I think that's added to its social side. But ultimately, I think it's born into the sport, which is quite nice.
So, Tia, you've now been playing for how many years?
It'll be 8 years now.
Because I don't know your age, so that was the missing piece for me. 8 years, yeah. Wow. How would you describe yourself as a player?
So I picked up the nickname on Court Poker Face when I was quite young, because I never used to show any emotion whatsoever. Whether I was winning or losing, I would just have the same face constantly. But as I've gotten older, I've definitely, I wouldn't say learnt more emotions, but showed more emotions on court. But yeah, I'm still pretty cool, calm, and collected, we could say. So yeah.
Nice. If you had to describe yourself as an animal, then what sort of animal is Tia Norton on the court?
A good question. First thing that's come to mind is a panda, because
A
they're quite
panda.
fun. A
Yeah,
panda,
love it.
but
Again, it
they're
puts a
quite
smile to my
clumsy.
face.
They're quite clumsy. I wouldn't say I'm clumsy. I
No, I
can
would
be
agree.
sometimes. But yeah, pandas are quite enjoyable, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, I love it. Well, for having played with you, I know that you are not clumsy. You are very precise and very very strong on the court. Well, let's see. What about your favorite shot after having played so many? You've converted to total paddle.
Yeah, it's got to be a drop volley, drop shot. I play it multiple times during a match. And whenever I'm playing with someone new, I play my backhand drop shot, and they're like, "Is that your favorite shot?" And I always say that is my signature shot to a tee. So yeah, that has to be my favorite shot.
Well, so I'd love to know, because I obviously, like you, I've played a lot of tennis, and wondering just to how you get to the drop shot. When do you decide that you're going to do the drop shot? Is it something you sort of you've spotted ahead of time, and that because you really need to prepare for it in a different way?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite it's not an easy shot to execute, because it is quite risky. Because of course it can either completely backfire and you hit it straight into the net, or you try and hit it short and then it goes a bit deeper, and then it's just an easy shot for your opponent. So yeah, it's normally played when your opponent is pushed a little bit further back, and there's a faster ball coming to you, so you can basically completely take the pace off the shot. And yeah, I mean, it sort of happens instinctively for me. I have quite a creative game in paddle. So yeah, sometimes I've hit a shot and I'm like, why have I hit that?
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, my mind goes a million miles an hour sometimes.
Well, the difference for me with regard to the drop shot in tennis, you've got a lot more space between you. Whereas in paddle, when you say they're deep, they're never more than 8 meters away from you, basically. So your time to react and to prepare and cut, drop it is less than in tennis, where generally speaking, they could be, miles away in the back of their court.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be quite a disguise shot as well, because of course, if your opponent knows that you're going to hit it, then yeah, there's, like you say, not a huge amount of court to cover compared to tennis. But yeah, if you play it in the right moment, then you can be caught off guard.
Totally. And what about your shot that you feel that Tia needs to improve on?
I would say the more simple shots, because I tend to overthink them a lot more. Oh, shot I need to improve. I'd probably go like a backhand or something, just a simple backhand.
Backhand
Because my
drive.
backhand, yeah, it can either be really, really good, or I try and do far too much with it. So when it comes off, when it pays off, fantastic shot, but it can be a little bit unreliable sometimes.
Well, it makes me think of my cousin Nelly, who he's a top ranked player, and he keeps on saying, better to be unhappy with the simple shots you make than happy with the great shots you make.
I can relate to
Indeed,
that.
keep it simple sometimes. So
Keep it
you
simple.
obviously you're playing on the tour. You're typically playing in what sort of tournaments right now?
So FIP is my most played tournament at the moment. World Padel Tour is a little bit difficult for me to get into, so yeah, I'm focusing on the FIP tour at the moment.
And the difficulty getting into the WPT is that getting into enough of the challenger tournaments, which are typically all in Spain?
No, so it's a case of points. their point system and how they've worked it out. So in order to be able to play World Padel Tour, you have to have a certain amount of points, because they only allow a certain amount of pairs into the tournament. But in order to get those points, you have to be playing World Padel Tour. So it's sort of a spiraling circle. You're going around in a circle all the time. Whereas FIP, there's a lot more opportunities for new and upcoming players to get onto the pro circuit. And yeah, it's a really good level. Really good level.
And who's your partner?
So at the moment, I'm playing with Rosalie van der Hoek. She's a Dutch player. She's on the Dutch national team. And she's, as of now, just taken a little bit of break from professional tennis. So she actually competed in Wimbledon this year, won first round at Wimbledon. So yeah,
that's always good.
An amazing, amazing person to be on court with.
And what about amongst the other pros? You fill out this questionnaire for me. Who are your favorite pros to play, to watch?
So female is Marta Ortega. I had the pleasure of meeting her when I was...
Dr. Ortega,
yeah,
right?
Dr. Ortega, exactly. I had the pleasure of meeting her when I was about 13 or 14. And yeah, she was such a lovely person, down to earth, and yeah, really inspired me to continue with paddle and try and see how far I could go. And yeah, she broke onto the pro circuit when she was at such a young age. And yeah, I've managed to follow in her footsteps a little bit, and I hope to continue to do so as well.
Yeah, she's a wonderful player too. And what about on the male side?
Has to be Tapia. Has to be.
Agustin.
Some of the shots he comes up with are an absolute joke.
Yeah. He is such a talented player.
Such a talent. And I would consider myself quite creative on court as well. And I'm always looking for new shots to be able to execute. And yeah, watching him, he's definitely a huge inspiration in terms of some of the shots he plays. And you're like, how have you managed to get that back? How have you executed that? And sometimes they're in such penultimate moments, but he just has them in his locker and he knows that he's able to do it. So yeah, to be able to have the confidence and courage to pull off some of those shots in important moments would be incredible.
Of course, he plays on the left side as well. Do you find that when you can study his game or the pros' games, the other pros, do you feel like you're watching them? And I'm getting the sense that you are. You're trying to figure out how he gets into those positions where he executes.
No, definitely. Whenever I'm watching the pro circuit and, excuse me, the higher ranked players competing, and I'm always thinking, right, how have they managed to get themselves into this more aggressive position? Have they built up the point? Tactically, what are they doing? What shots are they playing? So yeah, my mind's never fully switched off when I'm playing paddle. It's always right. How can I better my game as well?
And it was, I mean, for having been a student of the game now for 50 odd years, I mean, of course, I didn't have access to watch so many people in my youth, but it feels for me that sense of position on the court and the little steps, the feet, footwork, it's stuff that's less visible, or at least, you know, it's less splashy. It's just a little bit more abstract, this idea of knowing when to be on the court, go up, back, cut the ball off for the, you know, off for hitting the fence.
Definitely. Footwork in paddle is huge, especially coming from tennis, when it tends to be a lot bigger strides, whereas paddle's a little bit more intricate. Obviously, you're in a smaller space as well, more compact, and the ball can be changing direction so many times. So taking big steps is not the way forward. It's always about moving your feet, and especially when you're playing outdoors and you've got someone who's lobbing quite a lot, standing still is not an option. You've got to be moving your feet constantly until you make contact with that ball. So yeah, I definitely learned that over the years coming from tennis. I was not one to really move my legs very much, but in paddle you've got no choice. You have to.
You certainly are a mover. So this is the joy of paddle, Tia, and you can hear the enjoyment through your voice. But what would you say is the funniest moment that you've ever had on a paddle court?
Oh, funniest moment. I've definitely had some stupid moments that have caused me to actually injure myself.
Ouch. You're like, you trip and fall,
yeah,
or something?
No, I mean, I mentioned earlier that I wasn't clumsy, but I mean, in this instance that I'm about to share, I was very, very clumsy. I was actually running to the net for the drop shot and didn't get there in time, obviously too slow. And the ball actually went under me. I completely stepped on it and sprained my ankle. So that left me out. It was only a week, 2 weeks, but yeah, that was a clumsy moment. But funniest moment. I would say actually one of my matches in the Pro Paddle League in America. I was playing against the Miami team and I'd made really good friends with one of the girls that I was playing against. And during the match, myself and my partner, I'm not entirely sure how many times we hit this girl, but like we
you
hit
didn't
her
mean
so many
to hit her
times.
Every time, right?
Well, sometimes she was just in the way, like just happened to be in the way of the ball, where the direction of the ball was going. And after the match, she came up to me and she was like, "You do realize how many times you've just hit me?" So she actually made a video after the match, a combination of how many times we'd hit her, and she put it to the song "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time."
Well, good
so
sense
yeah,
of humor. Good sense
that's
of
a
humor.
Good memory from there.
Yeah, well, let's speaking of that, because this is phenomenal. The Pro Paddle League, you got recruited, drafted into that for the Las Vegas team, and you end up winning. Tell us about that victory.
Yeah, I mean, going to America, we were competing in Tampa in Florida. As you say, I got drafted for the Vegas team. But I actually signed up to play and get drafted, or hopefully get drafted, and I succeeded in that. But it was a bit of a risk going because it was the first league that they'd ever done of its kind, first league like this in paddle. And yeah, there weren't really too many expectations, or I at least didn't know what to expect or how it was going to run or anything. And yeah, it turned into one of the best experiences of my life. I stayed in Tampa for 5 weeks, was living on site. So I had paddle court 30 second walk from me, playing every single day, competing on the weekends. My team, I actually didn't really, well, in fact, I didn't know anyone. I knew of some of the players, but I'd never spoken to them before. And by the end of it, we all become a family. And our team owner said from the beginning that all he wanted us to do throughout the duration of that event was to play with our heart, and that would get us as far as we needed to. And there we did it. We ended up winning. So yeah, it was a really, really special moment.
So winning, there has to be more. There's chemistry, there's the heart. I mean, why is it that you guys won versus such outstanding competition?
I think we bonded together as a team so much throughout the course of those 5 weeks. So we were all staying there, the four of us who were playing every single weekend. So we were spending every day with each other. We learned what each other needed on and off the court, how to support each other. And at the end of it, we were one team. There was all of us playing on that court every single match. You would come off the court throughout the changeovers and you'd have everyone around you supporting you. And at the end of it, we just had so much trust in one another. And yeah, we let the players perform, and yeah, it led us to victory at the end of it.
It's just one of the differences. Of course, you have doubles in tennis, but the nature of the game in paddle, you've got the simplicity of the shots, and then you've got to go for those other shots, and you have to have the trust in each other, and you have each other's back so much more, I think, than in doubles, where it's a more aggressive game in tennis because you're just trying to punch the ball through. Whereas in paddle, you're developing, and that sense of camaraderie is almost something you build up within the points.
Definitely. Patience in paddle is an absolute key. One of my coaches said to me that you can make paddle as simple as you want it to be. And it is entirely true. The more simple you play, the more you're able to build a point, and then you will eventually get that easier shot. Whereas if you want to be hitting those incredible shots from the beginning, you're going to make life hard for yourself. So yeah, patience is definitely a virtue in paddle.
You said make life hard for yourself. What about life lessons? What about how do you feel that paddle
can help you within life itself?
I mean, I was very lucky to be introduced to paddle at such a young age, from at the age of 12. And from the age of 12, I was actually competing in the women's senior team. So that led me to traveling all over, being around adults a lot of the time, and learning life lessons on and off the court, obviously from the adults that I was around. Yeah, it basically led me to mature at a really young age. And I always get people ask me now, how old are you? And I always say, how old do you think I am? And the age I get is 24, 25 every time. I'm hoping not from the way I look, but people say that it's just the way that I act. So yeah, I mean, I've just learned how to, well, I matured really, really young, basically. And yeah, it's led me to be able to travel on my own now, be quite independent around paddle. And yeah, here I am, I guess.
Indeed. And how would you describe the future for Tia in paddle?
Future for Tia in paddle. I hope that the as big as it can go, as far as it can go. Of course, everyone's dream is to be the best in the world. And yeah, that is a dream that I hold. Of course, it's a long-term ambition. And yeah, hopefully I've got many, many more years in paddle, many more years competing, and hopefully to inspire the next generation as well to pick up a racket, because ultimately myself and everyone else is not going to be playing paddle forever. So there needs to be kids coming through. And yeah, hopefully I'll be able to inspire some kids.
Well, in the males side, I mean, I haven't really thought about it. There's Patty, who's, you know, I would say a veteran for her age. But in the male side, there's definitely Bella. There's blanked on
Sanjo.
His name. Sanjaw. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Who's coming up on 40. So in any event, I hope that you have many years left. You are a delight to play with. You're a delight to watch, Tia. And I wish you lots of good luck. Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on the show. Vamos, Tia!
Thank you very much. Lovely to speak with you.
So I hope you've enjoyed this Joy of Paddle episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to be the first in queue for the next episode. And if you like what you hear, please do share around with other paddle aficionados. This is a sport that deserves to be played by absolutely everyone. And if you've got a story that you'd like to share, please send me an email, or a better yet, a voice note at nminterdial@gmail.com. With that, thanks for listening, and see you on the next episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast. Vamos!
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.